Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We thank the Lord. We thank the pro-life voters in Colorado that Mike Kaufman won his primary. And so he'll be the Republican candidate in the 6th Congressional District in Colorado. I know a couple shows ago I talked about Ted Harvey, who's been a longtime pro-life hero. And we're hoping that Ted Harvey will agree that we should stop regulating the killing of unborn children. Any law that ends with, and then you could kill a baby, is a bad law. Ted Harvey came in, I think, third. Steve Ward, who's horrendous, anti-pro-life Republican, he came in last. And Will Armstrong came in second. And what was interesting is that Mitt Romney was campaigning for Will Armstrong in Colorado, and of course American Right to Life had been out around the country blasting Mitt Romney as a hardcore pro-abortion Republican who's just giving lip service and authorizing funding for elective abortions statewide in Massachusetts, and that was 2 years after his phony pro-life conversion for Republican Party politics. So we're thrilled that Mitt Romney's campaigning for Will Armstrong was a failure. And we hope that the John McCain campaign will realize if that was a trial balloon to see if Mitt Romney could help McCain win Colorado, hopefully they'll realize that that failed big time in the Republican primary to woo over the base. And so congratulations, Mike Kaufman, Colorado Secretary of State. Hopefully, a next representative from Colorado representing the 6th Congressional District. Now, we have a Clinton Watch project coming up, and the Rocky Mountain News has an article about an adult nightclub that has its billboard talking about Bill Clinton coming for 3 nights only during the DNC. And so we're going to talk about that, sort of hysterical. It plays perfectly into our Clinton Watch project. Also, there's a liberal pro-abort reporter, Wendy Norris, who writes for Reproductive Health Reality Check and other left-wing and pro-abort websites. And she's got an article out this week that couldn't be more misleading. She talks about pro-life groups that encourage and excuse violence. In other words, killing abortionists. And so she says there's this paragraph in her article, Fanning the Radical Anti-Abortion Flames in Colorado. And the fifth paragraph says there's another faction, pro-lifers, that will use any means necessary, including encouraging and excusing violence. And then in all the pro-life groups I work with, they're all against killing abortionists. I mean, I'm one of the leading, I think, we don't, on this show, Bob and Yurt Live, we don't brag about accomplishments we've made. But I think in this case, I'm one of the leading teachers in the country who have convinced the most hardcore extreme pro-lifers that it's wrong to kill an abortionist. I mean, I've made a concerted effort to track down such people and I created a worksheet, abortion vigilantism worksheet, and it's on our website, KGOV.com, and we work to convince pro-lifers that it's wrong to kill abortionists. And if anybody's wondering about that, just go to KGOV.com, click on Bob's writings, and then click on the abortion vigilantism worksheet. You can answer the questions and mail it in to us, Bob@KGOV.com. I'd like to see your answers to the worksheet. Hopefully you'll be convinced as you work through it that it's wrong for civilians to go out and kill abortionists. So anyway, this Wendy Norris has misleading a paragraph as you can ever hope to read. Another faction that will use any means necessary to end abortion, including encouraging and excusing violence. And she lists, she says, Colorado for Equal Rights, Colorado Right to Life, Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, that's Flip Benham's group, Utterly Committed to Nonviolence, Denver Bible Church, that's a group I pastor, and American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh, Steve Curtis. So it's typical liberalism, right? Okay, now, there's a YouTube video that was put out by Focus on the Family's political arm, Citizen Link, run by Focus on the Family Action, their political arm. And it's a funny video of one of their guys saying, hey, is it wrong to pray for rain during the DNC when Obama's going to be out at the Pepsi Center outdoors with 70,000 people? And so I want to talk about that in a little bit. It's a funny video, and I like to talk through some of those issues. So let's start on the phones, though. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Dave. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How's it going, Bob?
Dave, where are you calling from?
Calling from Denver.
All right, what's up?
Hey, I just want to join you in congratulating Mike Kaufman in his victory yesterday.
Amen. That's exciting, huh? Mike Kaufman, congratulations.
Very exciting. I also like to express sorrow in that Colorado has their first openly homosexual candidate win a primary election.
And Jared Polis?
Yes, it's a black mark on our state.
It sure is. And Dave, you know, we have dear friends from Romania. In fact, one of my dearest friends, Jonathan, married a beautiful gal from Romania. They have a wonderful Christian family here. But they go back to visit Romania. And when George W. Bush became president, he nominated a homosexual, openly homosexual man to become the ambassador to Romania. And when he went there, he brought his live-in boyfriend, partner, and he was introduced to the nation. Here's the new, you know, on a newscast, here's the new American ambassador to Romania. And my friend said her community, they were stunned. They were shocked that America would send a homosexual to be an ambassador to Romania. And the sad thing is, this was George W. Bush. And he has appointed homosexuals to whatever post, wherever he thought, you know, that's the best man, or would it be the best woman? I don't know. I guess it depends, right? It's the best woman for the job. So, Dave, it's not only the Democrats.
Yes, it's rampant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real tragic. So we have our first. All right. And Jared Polis. Thank you, Dave.
God bless you, Bob.
Appreciate the call. Now let's go to Los Angeles. Another Dave. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Distinguish me by just saying anti-socialist Dave.
Anti-socialist Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Bob, is it wrong if I want to pray for rain inside the building of the Republican convention?
Now that would be a miracle. You know, if you pray for rain and it rains, you don't know if it's just going to rain anyway. So that's, you know, one difficulty with that. But if you pray for rain, Dave, inside the Republican National Convention, if it rains in there, then we'll get back in touch with you.
That's the biggest miracle since Lazarus, huh?
Yeah. So, hey, what's up?
Hey, I know that your show and you have promoted for years justice, true justice in our justice system, which we don't have.
Right. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Imagine this, Bob. Last night, millions of American men get home from work. They're ready for 8 o'clock primetime Olympic coverage. Maybe the dream team in basketball is playing.
All right.
They sit down. They have their families. They have their kids. They say, let's watch the dream team. 8 o'clock hits. Bob Costas comes on the screen and says, ladies and gentlemen, I know you're waiting for the Olympics, but we must preempt our coverage for the first 30 minutes for the live hanging of John Edwards for the capital crime of adultery.
Wow.
Wouldn't that kind of stop a lot of cheating out there?
That would, you know what? I think the divorce rate would probably drop by 90%.
I agree.
I think the suicide rate among children who grow up in broken families would probably drop by 50%.
I agree. Now, Bob, I wanted to read, I printed verbatim from CNN.com, the Larry King Live interview with Joel Osteen, pastor of the megachurch in Houston.
Joel Osteen, right.
And his congregation is far more than yours, so you would think that he would be very sharp on the word, and he should be right on the money, because he actually has a bigger responsibility with his flock.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, here's what Larry King asked him, and I'd like you to answer the question. Just
right.
A couple of quick questions.
I'll try.
Larry King says, because we've had ministers on who said, your record don't count. You either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you are going to heaven. And if you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't.
Right.
So how do you respond to that? Is it only through Christ?
If you could get to heaven by being good enough, Jesus Christ would not have had to die. And our good works cannot save us. Only through Christ's death, only by trusting in him. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, of course, we want to let everyone know that they must trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation.
Joel Osteen responded, yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between, I believe you have to know Christ, but I think that if you know Christ, if you're a believer, you're going to have some good works. I think it's a cop-out to say I'm a Christian, but I don't ever do anything.
So he obfuscated. He didn't answer the question. He changed it to whether you need faith plus works.
That's right. Last question by Larry King. What if you're Jewish or Muslim, you don't accept Christ at all? What's your answer to that?
Jesus said, those who reject me reject my Father. And those who would say we're following Moses, he said, if you were following Moses, you would believe in me because Moses spoke of me. And so if you are a Jew or a Muslim, a Hindu or a Buddhist, and you die rejecting Jesus Christ, then what you're saying with your life is, I don't want to live with God forever. And God doesn't force anyone to love or trust him.
Joel Osteen says, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know.
What a tragedy. And that's the emergent church. That's, New Age philosophy mixed in with Christianity. And that's the seeker-friendly church that's willing to distort the truth of the Bible. And, lying to people in hopes of converting them to Christianity.
Bob, thanks for standing up for what's right.
Thanks, Dave. God bless you. I appreciate that. In Denver, Colorado, John, welcome to Bob and Eric Live.
Hi, Bob. I was just wanting to call in to get your opinion on the recent crisis right now between Georgia and Russia and the South Ossetian fight that's going on there.
John, I appreciate that. I have been up to my neck in sheets, 2,300 sheets, for the past 3 weeks, and so I'm not up on that like I should be, but let me say this. When America goes into a country to free the country from mass murderers, the liberals, of course, become enraged. When the Soviet Union, a communist country, invades Georgia for its own self-aggrandizement and selfish interest, my guess is that the liberals will not be equally enraged.
So, oh, exactly.
Thank you for your call. I do appreciate that. Okay.
Keep up the good fight.
All right. Appreciate that. Now, Citizen Link, which is part of Focus on the Family Action, put out this video. You can see it. It's funny. It's a funny video with one of their guys saying he's at the Pepsi Center and he's arguing, should we pray and ask God to make it rain? And it was well done. And do we have a caller? Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
This is Lorraine from Denver.
Okay. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. We had a bit of a technical problem there.
Oh, okay. That's fine. So, I just wanted to say I've seen the commercial.
Yes.
And it's really funny, but one thing that surprises me is, doesn't the Bible say not to test the Lord thy God? And, I'm surprised that James Dobson and them are putting God to the test, know what I mean?
And Lorraine, I think it is funny, it's cute, but I think your concern it takes it a little too far, because I don't think they were putting God to the test. And I'd like to think through and talk through that. But it was cute, right? It was well done. Is it wrong to pray for rain? And how about rain just during the DNC, 2 minutes before Obama gets up to make a speech? And it went on for a couple minutes, and it was cute. Well, to talk through that, you know what I want to do, Lorraine? I want to talk through the actual issue of Christians praying for rain and discuss that with the audience. So would you like to hang on while we do that? You're more than welcome to.
I think my phone's ready to die out anyway, but I'd love to listen to it.
All right. Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. By the way, the video, it was cute, well done. There was one thing I was sad about. It mentioned that, you know, we're against abortion and we're opposed to gay marriage. And unfortunately, Christians no longer are able to say that they're against homosexuality. They can only say, because of political correctness, they're fearful. They will only say they're against gay marriage. And what that makes the culture believe is that even Christians think homosexuality is okay. It's just gay marriage that we're against. And so, please, I beg, focus on the family. And I beg Jay Sekulow and American Family Association and all these pro-life groups, Concerned Women for America, I beg them to stop saying we're against gay marriage and to remind people that it's homosexuality that's wrong. And so we are against homosexuality, which destroys millions of people, regardless of whether they get married, so to speak, or not. Now, regarding the concept of praying for rain or clear skies and the Christians who do so, here are my observations. When they pray for rain and it doesn't rain, they ignore the incident. Think about in your life when you know people, or maybe you yourself, you've prayed for rain, it doesn't rain, and the Christians, they ignore the fact that it didn't rain 10 times over. When they pray for rain and it does rain, they'll repeat that story for 10 years. That once they needed it to rain and they prayed for rain and voila, it rained. Now, the same with people who pray for clear skies. When they get a cloudburst, instead, they just ignore that. But when they get a clear sky, then the story is told to others. Now, what percentage of time do atheists get the kind of weather they were hoping for? What percentage of time? Is it the same or different as Christians? I would suggest to you that it's the same. Do you think Christian sports leagues get fewer rain cancellations than homosexual sports leagues? No, of course not. Katrina didn't wipe out the French Quarter and the homosexual event that was planned there that week. Hurricane Katrina killed mostly the elderly and the young and the poor, and it left the homosexuals pretty much unscathed. So Christians say, oh, look, Katrina was sent because of the homosexuals, to get the homosexuals. Well, if God did that, he missed. He missed the French Quarter, and that was one of the few parts of the city that was virtually unscathed, and he got the wrong day. Why not do it during that Southern decadence that was coming up? So it's so superstitious of Christians to make these claims about the weather. It's sad. When the bride hopes for clear skies for her wedding, understandably, you know, she's hoping for a nice wedding. But she might be oblivious to the farmer down the road who might lose his family farm if he loses this year's crop to a drought. So he's desperately in need of rain, and the bride is praying for clear skies, unaware that the farmer is in the exact opposite situation. And maybe also unaware that, let's see, crime. Does crime go up or down on snowy days? When it snows, crime goes way down, right? It rains, crime goes down. clear days, you get a lot more gang members committing murder on clear days. That's just because they don't want to get wet. That's all. But as Jesus said, you know, our Father in heaven makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Didn't Jesus say that? Where is that verse? Let me look for that. Where's my Bible? Who took my... Oh, here it is. Here's my Bible. Okay. I'm going... That's in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Sermon on the Mount. That's a good book. Sermon on the Mount. Let's see here. Chapter 5. Yeah. Jesus said, our Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It's Matthew 5, verse 45. Notice that God makes his sun rise. It doesn't say he makes the sun rise. The sun belongs to God. I like that. Jesus, that was pretty cool. God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Christians should not be superstitious because it harms our credibility. And then when we want people to trust in Jesus Christ, they say, well, you're the goofy people who are superstitious. Now, of course, God can make it rain. Did God ever make it rain in the Bible? Of course he did. First of all, he created rain. He's the one who created rain, right? He made water. In fact, God invented space and matter with their property of universal gravitation. And God made water molecules so that if there are water molecules on a surface, if they get enough energy, they'll separate and become water vapor, and that evaporation cools down our bodies. It cools down lakes and rivers. And God made it rain the first time in the global flood, which deposited the billions of fossils and sedimentary strata all over the earth. And he specifically made it rain at other times, such as when Elijah prayed for rain. But that doesn't mean that every time it rains that God is micromanaging the weather. Does that mean that when the Bible says God made it rain for Elijah, does that mean every time it rains that God was micromanaging the weather? No, because if it does mean that, then during Elijah's time, what was the big deal? It was all the same. When the Bible records that God did something, like healing the leper in the Old Testament, Naaman the Syrian, that doesn't mean that every time there's a leper that God will heal him. In fact, Jesus pointed out that there were many lepers in the time of Elisha, the prophet, but God only healed Naaman. So it's a mistake to assume that God will always do the same thing in similar circumstances every time. Why is that a mistake? Because God is a person, and a person has a will, and a will is the ability to decide. And if we follow the pattern of Scripture, we learn that apart from super extraordinary circumstances, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. It just rains. It just rains. God made the earth with an ecosystem, and there's water on the earth. And, you know, some scientists think there was a global flood on Mars, and Mars is dry as a desert, whereas Earth is two-thirds covered in water, and they can't believe that there was a global flood on Earth. It's silly. Anyway, God made the earth. He filled it with water, and he created the water cycle. And so, yeah, God has provided the rain for our crops and for us to drink and to bathe and to wash with. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your sustenance for us. And if we pray for rain and it rains, that is not an act of faith being carried out, but it's superstitious. Like, remember the pagan Greeks thinking that the lightning bolts were thrown by Zeus? It's like that. If we pray for rain and it rains, we think it's an act of faith, but it is superstitious. Just like when the lightning bolts hit somebody's house and the pagan Greeks thought that Zeus was throwing lightning bolts to connect our prayer for rain with actual rain, I believe that dishonors God. I believe it honors God and exhibits more wisdom and spiritual growth to pray and ask God for the grace and courage to respond in a mature way, regardless of what the weather is. Rain or shine, we're not fair weather friends to him, but in all circumstances, all weather, we trust in God. Let's go to Denver. Todd, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, it's Todd.
Hi, sir.
I heard a couple callers back talk about John Edwards being publicly hanged, and my thoughts were, I thought you only had three capital crimes, murder, rape, and kidnapping. And then also, if adultery was a capital crime, how that relates to committing adultery in your heart.
Okay, very good questions, Todd. And I'm glad you give me a chance to clarify. In the Bible, fornication, sex outside of marriage, is not a capital crime. It's a crime, but it's not a capital crime. Adultery is a capital crime if it is with another man's wife. So, a prostitute is committing a crime, but not a capital crime. God says to a couple who has sex outside of marriage, he says they should get married. And he doesn't even say it's an absolute. As a basic rule, if possible, they should get married. But sex with another man's wife is a capital crime because it destroys families when it's accepted. It destroys families by the millions and kids by the millions. And John Edwards did not have sex with another man's wife. So, hey, we're out of time, Todd, but there's more to talk about, but we'll do it on another show.
Hey, you're doing really good. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, if you'd like to help out with any of our projects, the Sheets of Shame, the Clinton Watch, and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school, and KGov.com.